LifePoint Church, I hate to say it, but I have to. So far, 2021 has not been it. It has not been all that we hoped it would be, all that we built it up to be. It's just, it's kind of been off to a bizarre, uncomfortable, an overwhelming, a stressful, a chaotic, and a sad, sad start, to be honest. It just really has. You know, over so far, it's been like 9 full days. We're in the 10th day. 9 full days, and so far, we've seen the deadliest day of the pandemic. It was reported that over 4,000 people passed away on Thursday from COVID-related death. If you're a baseball fan, Tommy Lasorda passed away from a heart attack this week. Dr. Dre had a brain aneurysm. Like, what in the world? And then it gets worse. It gets crazy. Wednesday, we watched as a mob of what I will say, and you can get mad at me for saying it. That's fine. I got thick skin. I'll take it. But a mob of domestic terrorists just stormed the Capitol, right? They stormed the Capitol, and as a result, there were over 100 injuries, and at least 5 people passed away. After Wednesday's events at the Capitol, a number of cabinet members and senior officials began to resign from the Trump administration. Just, it's crazy. Like, what we're watching unfold is insane. Many people are now calling for the impeachment of Trump and for him to be removed in his final few days in office. We saw the hypocrisy of how different groups of people are spoken about, how they're treated, and how they're held accountable, how they're reported in the media. We saw the hypocrisy firsthand. And to be clear, I'm talking about how immigrants and people of color are treated versus white Americans. It's right in our face. And then here on January 10th, 2021, the hatred, the division, the stress, the exhaustion, and the hopelessness in our country is at an all-time high. So yeah, 2021 has been wild. It's been a wild start. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, like, I'm kind of over living through, like, major negative historical events. Like, it's like you keep hearing, this is an event like no other. It's a historical event. Like, it's been nonstop for the past year. Like, I'm over it. I'm ready to chill. Like, let's hold off on that a little bit. But, you know, this week has got me thinking. Like, I was planning on starting a new series this week, and we're going to kick that off next week. But after Wednesday, I couldn't think of anything else. I was so distracted. My brain was all over the place. And it got me thinking that as we come crashing into 2021, with everything that's going on around us, I believe it's time for us. It's time for the church to freaking stand up and be who we are created to be. To do the things that we are created to do. To be who God designed not only us individually, but who he designed the church to be. It's time for us to swear our allegiance not to a country, not to a person, not to a political party or anything like that. I'm not here to say, I don't care who you voted for. I don't care what political party you stand for. What I care about is us swearing our allegiance to the kingdom of God, to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's what it's about. It's time for us as the church to be the light of the world, to be the city on the hill that cannot be hidden that Jesus preached about in Matthew 5. It's time for us to step up and be that. It's time for us to stand up against injustice and wrong, to speak out against it with passion and boldness, but with love and grace at the same time. You have to finesse it. It can't just be like that all the time, love and grace. And it's time for us to truly, now more than ever, to love like Jesus loved. to love unconditionally, unrelentlessly, unapologetically, and most importantly, undeservingly. Because we didn't deserve it, so who are we to withhold it from other people? Man, it's time for us to step up. It's time for us to be the church. But you know, I'm a realist. I'm a flawed dude. And I know that that is so much easier said than done. And I don't sit up here and be like, you all need to do this. You know, I need to do that. And it is so much easier said than done, especially right now with as much division and as much hurt and sadness that's going on all around us. All the distractions that we have, both the good and the bad, we're distracted like crazy with everything that's going on in our world today. Everything we're exposed to day in and day out, that's constantly running through the media, that's constantly happening in conversations, that's constantly in front of our face with everything that's going on, it could be hard to actually want to be the light. Just being honest. It can be hard to actually want to love people. And it's not because we don't want to, but it's just because we're so flooded with so many overwhelming feelings and emotions. Again, if I'm being honest, personally, like I said, my mind has been all over the place this week, like for real. Like watching Wednesday, actually I was here and I was sitting up, Jen texted me and was like, yo, have you seen what's going on at the Capitol? I'm like, nah, I just figured, you know, whatever. And then I flipped on the news on my phone and I'm like, what in the world is going on? And then it just snowballed and it kept going. And then I was just filled with emotions. I was frustrated. I was confused. I was sad. A little fearful. I was angry. And I just, by the end of the night, I was exhausted. The more I watched, the more I listened to, those emotions grew and grew and grew. And they were welling up within me. And as I watched the events unfold and as I watched and discussed, as some of the people that were storming the Capitol were carrying banners with the name Jesus on it, carrying what is known as the Christian flag as they breached into the Capitol. I mean, I was disgusted. I was pissed off. I was not happy about that. But again, it reminded me how critical it is now more than ever for the church to step up and to show the world who Jesus really is. We can't just be in our feelings. We can't get mad. We can't argue about what's right, what's wrong with, you know, these different political sides and things like that. No, we've got to be the church. We've got to be unified. And we've got to step up. It's the time. It's the time for us to do this. And so, again, as we kick off 2021, LifePoint Church, I just want to remind you to be a beacon of hope, to be the light, and to be love, and to show it with grace. We are the hope for the broken world, not because we're great, but because Jesus came to this earth, died and rose again for us, and we who know him, who have a relationship with him, we are called to show the love of God to everyone, not to spout it off, but to live it, to be it, to do it. The world is waiting for that. Like, people that don't know Jesus are waiting for the church to actually be who they say they are, because they've seen it time and time again where a Christian spouts something off, but they don't back it up with their actions. And then when rubber meets the road and when it gets messy, they bail because it's too hard and it's too ugly and they don't want to be a part of it. They want nice, pretty, and easy. And that's not no more. It's time to step up, to be the light that lives within us. And this starts, it starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us individually getting focused. It starts with us understanding who we are, and most importantly, whose we are. And it starts with us being connected to Jesus, listening to him, following and obeying his commands, and living in the Spirit of God every second of every day so that the Spirit of God can live through us. That's where it starts. It starts with you. And as we're going to talk about for the rest of our time today, I believe it starts with love. I think it starts truly with love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 tells us this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. It's not just what God does, it's who He is. God is love. So based on this truth, the presence and the existence of love in our hearts and in our lives is of the utmost importance. If we are not showing love, if love is not radiating through us, something's wrong. Because God is love. And if God lives in us and we're walking with Him in the Spirit, then love will be the result. And I believe that Jesus is pretty clear in Scripture in letting us know how we are to love and who we are to love. And today I specifically want to focus on who we are commanded to love. And we're going to look at three. And two of the three is not probably going to be a surprise to any of you, especially those of you that have been around LifePoint for any length of time, because we talk about this a lot, I talk about this a lot, and I will always talk about this a lot because I think it is so important. But the third one, unless you attended our live prayer night this past Thursday where I talked about this a little bit, it might catch you off guard a little bit. It might surprise you. So let's go ahead and get into it. And we're going to start by going to one of my absolute favorite passages of Scripture, one that's a frequent flyer here at LifePoint Church, and it's where Jesus finds Himself being publicly challenged and questioned by a religious leader, one of the Pharisees, and he was an expert in the religious law. So we're going to pick things up in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 34. It says, "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together." All right, when they got together, they were trying to scheme something up. So, verse 35, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. He said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Like I said, it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. So simple, yet so profound. And so, when looking at this and looking at who we are to love, who we're supposed to love, who God has called us to love, the first and foremost, we clearly see that you are to love your God, right? Above everything else. Love your God. Verse 37, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." You see, Jesus didn't give a list of rules. He didn't say, "Well, do this, do that, do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't go here, don't talk to these people, don't." No, He didn't do any of that. He simply said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Basically, love God with everything you have. Everything that's within you, let it cry out to Him. Love Him. This is the first and greatest commandment. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that today because we've talked about it a lot. And then also, next week, we're going to start a series that's going to help lead us into a deeper and more intimate relationship with God as we move through 2021. So we're going to be looking at different ways that we can actually love God more than we do today. Things that are going to build our faith and build us up and set us up for success. Set us up to be who God created us to be. But today I want to remind you, or to let you know maybe for the first time, to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the only way that you can do this is to be connected to God through Jesus. And it's only through Jesus. He is the only way that we can be made right with God. He is the only way that we can be in relationship. It's through Jesus and only Jesus that we can be connected to God, the true vine. And when we do that, it produces much fruit. And it's only through Jesus that we have the ability to actually love. Because it connects us to God, and God is love. So first and foremost, we've got to know Jesus. Then we can begin to truly love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. We have to love your God. The second thing is that you're to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Verse 39, Jesus said, and the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no escaping this. A lot of people are quick to say, yeah, I'm gonna love God. I love him. And it's like, hey, love your neighbor. Okay, who's my neighbor? Your neighbor's your neighbor. Your neighbor's everybody, anyone, and everybody. That's who your neighbor is. The word in this passage of scripture that's translated as neighbor is the Greek word plesion. And my son probably just peeked up. He's like, oh, that sounds like a Pokemon. Plesion. No, it's not. It's the Greek word, and it means a neighbor, a friend. But then it goes on to say, but according to Christ, it means any other person, irrespective of nation or religion, with whom we live or whom we chance to meet. Covers it. It's everybody. God says, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Basically, love anyone and everyone that you have the potential chance of meeting. I don't care what their nationality is. I don't care what their religion is. I don't care what they believe. I don't care who they love. I don't care anything about that other than you go love them. You show them the love of Jesus. Introduce them to Jesus, and then let God do the work on their heart to fix whatever needs to be fixed. Our job is to love, to live it out every second of every day. Jesus says you are to love your neighbor, your plesion, everyone, all people. But again, not easy, right? If we were all being 100% honest, we could probably name some people in our lives that are hard to love. If we were being honest, we could name some people in our lives, or just some people in general, that we don't want to love. But if you were a follower of Jesus, you don't have that opportunity. Because we are to love our neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Here at LifePoint Church, we always say, love God, love people. It's really that simple. Whenever you get overwhelmed by thinking about different things in your faith walk, or what does Jesus mean by this, or what does the Bible mean about this, and you start spiraling out of control, just remember, love God, love people. It's really that simple. But as I stated a few minutes ago, these first two ones were probably no surprise to you, right? When we talk about who you should love, love God, love people, especially even at LifePoint, we've talked about it quite a bit. But this third one, in my personal opinion, is something that's not talked enough about in church today. It's really not. As a matter of fact, in my 38 years in church, you know, I pretty much like was born into a church, I feel like. Like I've been going to a church my whole life. And in my 19 years of being in either a Christian school or Christian university, I don't know that I ever recall a pastor sharing these words and this truth like this directly and this boldly. And I'm not saying like to pat myself on the back. I just think it's something that we've missed, something that we've neglected in the grand scheme of things, but it's something that's so important. And it's that not only are you to love your God, right? First and foremost, love your God, all your heart, soul, and mind. But not only are we to love our neighbors, the third thing that we see is that you need to love yourselves. You need to love yourself. You need to take care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You've got to love yourself. And on the surface, it kind of feels and sounds a little wrong. Like growing up in the church, and especially in very conservative movements, like even writing these words when I was typing this out and you know, God was sharing this with me and speaking, I'm kind of like, I don't know, like, should I say that? That seems pretty selfish. On the surface, it feels that way, but it's not. It's not selfish. It's not wrong. Like, I know, like, my mind, I was thinking, I'm like, but didn't Jesus say, like, in the book of Luke, to deny yourself? Take up your cross? Follow me? Denying yourself doesn't sound like something that would go hand in hand with love yourself. But we do. We need to deny ourselves, yes. But that's our own motives. That's our own desires. That has nothing to do with loving ourselves. Yes, we must deny ourselves and follow Jesus, but we also need to take the posture of the Apostle Paul. When he wrote in Galatians 2, he said, I have been crucified with Christ, therefore it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. So check this out. But if it's Christ that lives within you, why in the world would you not then take care of yourself? Think about that. If Christ lives within you, how can you skip past the fact that we need to practice self-care? That we need to love ourselves. How can you deny the fact that you need to do that? Two passages of scripture that I was taught quite a bit growing up that were used to like push a bunch of do's and don'ts on me, I think are, through this lens, are two of the most beautiful passages of scripture about self-care. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says it like this. Do you not know that you are God's temple? That God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy. And check this out. You are that temple. And then again in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Again, these two passages many times have been preached with do's and don'ts, right? Like I said, I grew up in a conservative movement, so it was more like, you know, don't drink alcohol. Don't smoke. Don't go get tattoos. I really listened well. I know. I get it. Don't go to the movie theaters. Don't do this. Don't do that because your body is the temple of God. And I'm not saying to go do those things. I'm not saying to not go do those things. What I'm saying is this passage of scripture is so much deeper than that. It's so much deeper than the surface level. It's about your soul. It's about your spirit. It's about your innermost being. It's about taking care of yourself because you are the temple of God. So you need to love yourself. I'm telling you all, this is so important. It's not only important for your own physical well-being, because it is. It's good for your physical well-being. But it's also important in your ability to actually live out your God-given calling. It's important for you to be on mission. God has created you to do a specific thing. Right? He's created you to go and do this, whatever it might be for you. your unique calling. And in order to do that, you got to be at your best. You got to be on your game. You can't live exhausted. You can't live bombarded by everything that's going on around you. You got to think clearly. And one of the ways you do that is by loving yourself, taking care of yourself. Again, let's read Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. Tyler, I apologize. I know I went out of order. But check this out. And I want to show you something that God showed me like yesterday. I'm not even going to lie. And I had like this aha moment. And it was just like getting cold chills even thinking about it. But check it out. When we just read it, we're going to read it again. Verse 39. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as what? As yourself. 38 years and I never put that together. Maybe you all did. Maybe I'm just slow. I will accept that. I accept it. It's true. But love your neighbor as yourself. It's implying that you should actually love yourself. When Jesus shared this, he was sharing it and teaching this with the assumption that you actually love yourself. But far too many times we don't. We are our own worst critics. We beat ourselves up, and we don't ever give ourselves a chance to breathe. We do things that are destructive to us. We do things that keep us busy so we don't have to deal with whatever's going on within us or whatever's happened to us. We keep ourselves busy because we don't want to go do this. Or we keep ourselves busy because we think it makes us spiritual. Trust me, I went to Bible college. You know how many people I saw that thought they were it spiritually because they read the Bible a billion times and they could spout out all this Greek and Hebrew and they could do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes they did that to a fault because they were so exhausted and they weren't physically able to go out and be the church. They had a lot of head knowledge. They had no life experience. They weren't impacting anyone's life. And typically, not to judge, but those are the people that normally become keyboard warriors and start spouting off at everyone else on how they're living wrong. Because it builds a pride up within you. But we've got to love ourselves. And that happens when we don't take care of ourselves. Self-care is so important. You have to love yourself. And again, not in a prideful way at all. That's not in an arrogant way. That's not you saying that you think you're it. I know I'm not it. I don't understand half the time why God has me in the position that he has me in, but I'm here. So I'm just going to keep moving forward. And I'm going to trust him. Because I know I'm not it. But I also know that I need to love myself. And I've been learning this more and more as I've moved along in life. We have to take care of ourselves. See, you can't fully love your neighbor unless you love yourself. So we have to love ourselves. Because if you don't love yourself, you're not going to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. They go hand in hand. And I dare to say that you can't fully love God if you don't love yourself. Because if you're not practicing good self-care, you're physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually taxed. You're exhausted. You're wiped out. And then you can't actually be used by God. And you can't really love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, because your heart and your soul and your mind are done. You see, we were created by God himself for a specific reason. Believe today, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've done, that you are his masterpiece. God doesn't make mistakes. We do, but he doesn't. And the beautiful thing is that we can always come back to him. And we're still a masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do incredible things that he called us to do. And we can't do those things unless we're taking care of ourselves, unless we're practicing good self-care. Love your God. Love your neighbor no matter how selfish it may sound or feel, love yourself. Every time I say that, I think about parks and recreation, like treat yourself, right? Those that know that, you'll appreciate that. If not, whatever, go watch Parks and Rec. But LifePoint Church, let me just ask you today, with everything that's gone down in 2020 and everything that's already happening in 2021, how are you doing with this? How are you doing with love? And I want you to be honest with yourself with that question. Like, how are you doing when it comes to love? How are you doing with loving God right now? How are you doing with loving your neighbor? What do your words have to say about how you're loving your neighbor? How do your actions speak about how you love your neighbor? How does your social media, what does it say about how you're loving your neighbor? How are you loving your neighbor? And how are you loving yourself? How are you doing with that? Everything that we've been through, everything that we've witnessed this past year, with all these historic events that we're tired of, right? I want you to understand that not only does God give you permission to disconnect, to take a break, to rest, to love yourself, to practice good self-care, not only does he give you permission for that, but he commands you to do that. He longs for you to take care of yourself, for you to love yourself. And so this week, I want to encourage you, like for real, spend some time and disconnect. Disconnect. And you can do that however God wants you to do that. However he leads you, however you feel convicted to do that. I'm not saying like jump off social media and unplug the TV and, you know, lock yourself in your closet for a week. I'm not saying that. Be productive, do your things you got to do, be responsible, but disconnect in some way this week and focus on love. Focus on love. Focus on figuring out ways that you can love God more than you do right now. And like I said, we're going to talk more about that in the weeks to come, but I want you to start working through that. I want you to look for ways and pray for ways that you can love your neighbor better. Because I'm telling you, when you ask God to show you ways to love your neighbor, oh, he's going to give you opportunities. Will you take them? Will you love your neighbor? And then I want to encourage you to begin to love yourself. Make self-care a part of your daily routine. I cannot stress that enough. Make self-care a part of your daily routine. And if you're like me, like I was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and you have no idea how to take care of yourself, you know, you don't know how, what self-care looks like because you're just so exhausted and wiped out and overwhelmed, just ask God. God, show me ways that I can love myself. Show me ways that I can be refreshed, that my soul can be rejuvenated. Ask a friend. Ask your spouse. Ask someone else. You know, say, hey, how do you practice self-care? Ask me. I'd love to talk to you about it. Share, if you're great at self-care, share it online. Drop it in the comment section of this stream or throughout the week. Just share that because that's what's going to help. It's going to help each other to grow in that way and to practice self-care. And then once you ask God and once you ask people and you start getting these opportunities and seeing these different things, just try it. Try different things, and then God's going to reveal to you what it is that's going to refresh you. But you have to start by loving yourself enough to do that. And it's so important. And it's so important because it is time. It's time for the church to step up. To step up to the plate and be who God wants us to be. Who he designed the church to be. And for us individually to be and do all that God has created us to be and do. Because if we're not doing that, what's the point? If we're not doing that, this should be our last stream and we should close the doors. Because that's what it's about. It starts with you And it starts with me. And I believe it really starts with how we love. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for dying for us, for taking on our sin and our shame so that we can know you, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be connected to you and connected to the Father. Jesus, we are so thankful for that. May we never take that for granted, and may that never just become words, Lord. May that be just fresh in our hearts at all time, that you love us that much and how much it cost for us to be connected to you and to be saved and to be forgiven. And Jesus, I pray today that we would step up to the challenge. We would step up to the plate. There's so much chaos and hate and division and just unknown going on right now. There's fear. There's hopelessness. Lord, it's just a tough time, and you know this. And I pray that we would step up and be the light that I know we can be, that you create us to be. I just keep envisioning that a city on a hill that cannot, the light that cannot be hidden. Where the light of the world, city on a hill, cannot be hidden. That's what the church is supposed to be. But unfortunately, we're not. God, may you forgive us for that, and may we turn and begin to truly be the church. May we love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and all of our mind. And may we love our neighbors as ourselves, and may we love ourselves and take care of ourselves so that we can do everything that you ask of us. May we do that individually, and may we do that as Life Point Church. As we continue in the spirit of prayer, maybe you're here today or you're watching online and you've never come into a personal relationship with Jesus. You can't really connect with love God, love people, and love yourself because you don't know the Father. You've never given your life to him. And if that's you today, I just want to remind you that God, he loves you so much. As we read earlier, that he is love. It's who he is. It's what he does. It's what he's about. He loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you, specifically in your place, so that you can be connected to God, forgiven every single sin, every wrongdoing, every wrong thought, everything forgiven, past, present, and future. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you will be saved. If you're ready to step over that line of faith, you just confess and believe. There's no magic prayer. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to be here physically. If you want to do those things, that's great. But really, it's about you and God. It's about your heart connecting with his and just placing your faith and trust in Jesus, believing he died and rose again, and just confessing that you need him, confessing and believing. And when you do that, man, your life will never be the same. You're not going to be perfect, but you're forgiven. And you're never alone, and God is with you, and he creates that spirit of hope and joy and love within you. And the more you follow him and the more you seek him, the more his love begins to shine through you. It's such a beautiful thing. But you got to take that first step. So if that's where you're at today, you can just call out to him however he leads you, however you feel led to confess and believe, you can do that. And if you make that decision today, I'd love to connect with you. You can drop us a direct message. You can drop it in the comments. Or if you're here in person, you can come talk to me afterwards. I want to connect with you. I want to celebrate that. We want to celebrate that as a church and help you on your new journey and your relationship with Jesus. If you're not ready to do that yet and you have more questions, hit me up. I'm here for it. But if you are a believer, you have that connected relationship with Jesus, I want to challenge you to focus on love this week. How you love God, how you love people, and how you love yourself. And when we can hit those three, I'm telling you, there's nothing's going to stop us. Jesus, again, we love you. We thank you. Pray that you would bless decisions being made. Bless each person that's here in person and that's watching online. That you would just give them strength. Give them confidence. Give them boldness. Give them your love. May your love shine through them. And as a result, may people come to know you. God, may we be a church that loves your people and that loves you and that loves each other. It's your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you all so much for being here with us once again for LifePoint Online. If this is your first time here with us, thank you all so much for being here and hanging out with us and checking out LifePoint Church. If you'd like more information or if you have any questions, you could either drop a comment below or you can visit us on our website or any of our social media platforms. And if you have questions, just go ahead and ask, and someone from our team will get back with you as soon as we possibly can. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just simply want to give to LifePoint Church, you could head over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. If you click it, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. You can also begin to text to give by texting the amount that you want to give to the number 84321. But however you choose to give, we're just so thankful and humbled by the fact that you're on mission and that you're giving back just a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with. Again, thank you all so much for being here with us today. We hope that you'll join us in connecting and doing life online throughout the week. And until next Sunday, we'll see you later. Have a great one.